Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Monday, November 17th. Happy anniversary, honey. 8:07 Central Time. That means it is time to study the daily New Testament reading right here on Worldwide KFUO. We are celebrating 90 years of proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ on Worldwide KFUO. 90 years. Lots of great things going on this week as we look at some of the history of Worldwide KFUO. There will be photos on our Facebook page. You can check it out, facebook.com/KFUO radio. You can look at photos there. And during the 1 o'clock hour, during 1 to 2 Central, you can join Gary Duncan for some of the music from the Ark. Archives of the KFUO Radio Choir. You can listen each day this week to hear some of the music, the historic sound bites throughout the week as well. Just heard our history moment there. Hope you can join us throughout the week as we look at some of the history of God's blessings here at Worldwide KFUO. Well, it is time to study the daily New Testament reading. Our guest pastor joining us by phone this morning, the Reverend Stanish Stanley from India Evangelical Lutheran Church. Good morning, Pastor Stanley.
Good morning, sir. Thanks for having me again.
It's good to have you around here and always joining us to study God's Word. Always great to hear your voice. I understand it sounds like you've got a little cold there hanging in there for us, though. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much, sir. Yes, I hope the listeners as well as you kind of bear me out today.
Well, what are you up to these days, Pastor Stanley? I know you're working on your doctoral degree, lots of studies going on, and I believe last time you and I talked, you were submitting, I believe you were preparing for your dissertation, is that right?
In fact, I was preparing for my thesis proposal, and I cleared my thesis proposal almost 2 or 3 weeks back. And right now I'm writing my chapters, so hopefully I'll finish somewhere next year.
Very good. Well, the Lord bless you in that endeavor. I know it's no small task, but we are grateful that you are studying theology, studying God's Word so intently in service to the church, and we're grateful for that. And this morning we get to study God's Word, Matthew chapter 27, verses 11 through 32. Is that correct, sir?
That is correct, sir.
Yes. All right. Well, anything you'd like for us to know before we dig into this text?
Well, the most important thing probably is definitely we are in the season of season of Advent. We are kind of looking at the opportunity to celebrate Christ's birth and Christmas coming up and all that. And in the midst of all this, we are looking at a passage which probably comes somewhere during Good Friday and the Lent season. It's good to keep in perspective what it really means when we celebrate and when we look forward to our Savior who is coming in the in the manger. What does that Savior really mean? Mm-hmm. What did He go through for you and me? What it really means as a Christian to celebrate and to be welcoming of the Savior who is coming to us. So, keeping those things in mind would be a good way of starting off today's Bible study on Matthew chapter 27 verses 11 onwards, which is talking about Jesus standing before Pilate. He's going to be condemned. He's going to be judged and condemned, and he's going to be crucified. This in proper perspective would be a good way to begin today's Bible study.
Very good. We are studying Matthew chapter 27, verses 11 through 32 today with Pastor Stanish Stanley. If you have questions or comments, give us a call, 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us, kfuo@kfuo.org, as we're digging into Matthew chapter 27, verses 11 through 32. Now, Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus said, "You have said so." But when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many things they testify against you?" But he gave him no answer, not even to a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed. All right, Pastor?
Yeah. In fact, when you look at this particular passage, that is this entire text that we have chosen, that is from chapter 27, verses 11 onwards to 31, this is the Roman trial scene of Jesus. Basically, we need to look at it in three sections, the three episodes that are really taking place over here. And the first chunk is what you read out, that is from verse 11 to 14, which is an initial interrogation of Pilate. by Pilate of Jesus. And the second section is definitely the choice that you will be making between Barabbas on the one side and Jesus that finally leads to Jesus' condemnation, which is from verses 15 to 26. And 27 to 31, the last part is basically the mockery of Jesus by the Roman soldiers. It seems truly amazing that Jesus is not ready to even say anything. He makes this one statement. At the very beginning, when Pilate asks him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" So it's almost like there is this sense of, wouldn't there be somebody better to be the King of the Jews? Are you the one? It's like almost making fun over right over there itself. And Jesus kind of just replies, probably softly, "Yeah, you have said so. So that means yes, I am the King of the." King of the Jews, and you have yourself accepted it by saying so. It's very interesting that there is a sense of mockery on the one side. There is also a sense of awe on the other side, which is played out because Pilate kind of, in the end, as you read in verse 14, the governor was greatly amazed. That's what it says. So it's a very interesting combination which is taking place over here, and it is very important for us to note that.
Very good. So do you not hear how many things they testify against you? They were bringing many things against Jesus, many things. Yet he responds to none of them, not even a single charge.
Right.
And the governor was greatly amazed. I wouldn't be able to stand there if someone were bringing charges against me. I don't think I could stand there and be silent. I think the old Adam in me just wants to respond when someone says something bad about me, especially something that is not true.
That is true. In fact, this is where we need to keep in mind that, yes, this is not the old Adam. This is the new Adam who has come in Jesus. And it's you rightly make those very important differentiations and point out to us how we as the old Adam lurking within us would respond. But Jesus, it's very interesting. He's almost fulfilling what the Isaiah passage kind of talks about as the suffering servant. If you look at especially Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7, where the prophet kind of points out how the suffering servant stands silently before his accusers, and it causes kings to be amazed. Isaiah chapter 52, verses 14 and 15. So it's almost a fulfillment of the prophetic message that is laid out about the suffering servant in the Isaiah passages, and Jesus as the fulfiller of Scripture, as the fulfiller of the promises of God. It's very important for us also to keep in mind that Jesus stands as the one who has come to save us from our sins, to redeem us from what we have done, the sins that we have accumulated, the sins of the world, and Jesus stands as that person right before Pilate, who is ready to take the sins of the world upon himself. And so that's this is something, and which is so different from you and me, who would want to jump out of our seats to defend ourselves when somebody accuses us of what we've done.
Shall we? Anything else about verses 11 through 14 before we go on to the next section, Pastor?
Something that we could keep in mind is how Jesus, earlier in the Gospel, Matthew is portraying Jesus as a person who has fulfilled the servant work, who has participated in the healing ministry, who has healed so many people, and with all this, you see the crowd almost kind of with Jesus, especially in the entire Matthean passage. But over here, there is no mention of it. Of course, as we begin off with the initial interrogation by Pilate, Pilate probably must have heard something about Jesus. He must have definitely known that, hey, there is this guy who seems to be a big preacher and all that. And there is a sense at the very beginning itself where Pilate sees Jesus and say, are you the one who they call as King of the Jews? I would have expected something much more bigger. Probably that was what just like Herod before, who wanted to see Jesus and see wonderful works of Jesus. Pilate also must have expected a very charismatic, big, great figure. Probably he didn't see that in him. But it was truly amazing for him that a person who was pretty... a person who was pretty popular or who was well known does not seem to be even ready to go against his accusers. People who are bad mouthing him or saying bad things against him or testifying against him, he's truly amazed that this guy who is supposedly a great preacher who has a lot of people behind him just doesn't seem to be behaving the way he would have expected him to behave. So even today when we look at our leaders and our great and the great preachers and the great guys, there are so many people associated with them, and anybody would expect such people to have a big crowd behind them or a charismatic aura behind them. And there would be an expectation that yes, if something happens to them or there is any charges brought against them, there would be a whole lot of people jumping over the wall to kind of support them, defend them, and all that. And even the person himself would be expected to do that, and which is not happening over here. So for Pilate, this must have been probably a very humbling and a very also a very learning experience that, well, this guy seems to be completely different. And that is what amazes this governor, what amazes Pilate, that Jesus is just not talking back. He is ready to suffer he is ready to just quietly bear out and play and face whatever adversity is going to come upon him.
Very good. We are studying Matthew chapter 27, verses 11 through 32. If you have questions or comments about the text today, give us a call or an email, 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727. Let's go to the listener lines. Let's go to Mike here in St. Louis. Good morning, Mike.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Great, great. What's your question this morning, Mike?
My question is, do you think that what really impressed Pilate was Jesus' bravery? Because he knew that he was going to get convicted or nothing, but he wasn't trying to plead for his life. He totally accepted his fate of being executed. So it was his bravery that maybe Pilate was impressed with, maybe.
Interesting question. Thanks for your call, Mike.
Well, yes, it's very easy for us to just probably say, from hindsight, just look back and make our own kind of judgments about what really was Pilate amazed about. But I would say that at the human level, yes, we could say that yes, Pilate must have been amazed about one thing, and that was that Jesus was willing to face the adversity that was lying before him. But at the same time, the amazing aspect also come which Pilate must have kind of noticed was that Jesus was willing to accept or to keep quiet about many of the accusations which were thrown at him. So he was not out there defending or trying to blame the other guy for what was being thrown at him. He was ready to, and that's where the Isaiah passage kind of is something that we can keep in mind. The suffering servant. It is about leadership, or it is about the Son of God who is ready to suffer for you and for me. Even accusations that are thrown at. Accusations that are thrown at him are things that probably he could have defended, but he is not ready to do so. He is ready to just let it go and just keep his silence over there. So so maybe that is something that must have amazed Pilate, that why aren't you saying anything against these guys? Come on, you have this great opportunity. I am the great political leader over here. I am the one who will be the one who will decide for capital punishment or against it. Now, come on, man. If you are not going to say anything, you might end up getting killed. And you are ready for it? Now, that is something that probably must have amazed Pilate, too. So there are many things that are playing in over here. But one thing we also need to keep in mind is that for Jesus is the Son of God. He knows what he has to go through. He knows that he has to suffer for entire humanity, for the sins of the whole world. So this is a foreordained plan of God, and Jesus is invested in this plan. He has accepted it. He realizes that as a Son of God, he has to go through this. So maybe everything kind of is coming together, and the entire circumstances, the atmosphere, the little things that are happening on the side, on the background, everything kind of plays a role in Pilate being amazed about what he sees in the response of Jesus.
We're studying the daily New Testament reading, and we need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll continue studying with Pastor Stanis Stanley from India Evangelical Lutheran Church in Matthew chapter 27 today, verses 11 through 32. Stick around for more His Time right after this break on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
KFUO celebrates our 90th anniversary. On December 14th, 1924, from a small attic studio in St. Louis, KFUO was heard for the very first time. Our founders used the motto, keeping forward, upward, and onward, to go along with the call letters assigned to the station. And from that day on, KFUO has moved forward through each decade, proclaiming a Christ-centered message. We've moved upward with broadcasting in AM, FM, HD, and satellite syndication of KFUO programs. Worldwide KFUO continues to move onward, using today's technologies including internet streaming, on-demand programs, and podcasting. The mission of that first day is the mission we have today. Go out and proclaim the gospel. Now, through the end of January, join us for fun and memories during this 90-day celebration with a new theme each week, reflecting on our 90 years of ministry. KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. We are studying the daily New Testament reading today with Pastor Stanis Stanley from India Evangelical Lutheran Church. We're in Matthew chapter 27 today, verses 11 through 32. Picking up at verse 15. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to release for the crowd any one prisoner whom they wanted. And they had then a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when they had gathered, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release for you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?" For he knew that it was out of envy that they had delivered him up. Besides, while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him, "Have nothing to do with that righteous man, for I have suffered much because of him today in a dream." Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and destroyed Jesus. The governor again said to them, which of the two do you want me to release for you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" They all said, "Let him be crucified." And he said, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Let him be crucified." This is the word of the Lord. Let us study this even further. Let's go into verse 15. Now, at the feast, the governor was accustomed to release for the crowd any one prisoner whom they wanted. What do we know anything about this tradition? That the governor would release one prisoner for them.
This is basically the Passover feast that is taking place, and during this time there is a tradition that that the political ruler or the guy who is in charge over there, he releases. This is out of goodwill. It is like a political leader who kind of makes a good connection with his people. And and what we find over here is that as the time kind of custom is during the Passover feast to release any one of the prisoners every year, Pilate basically just follows that tradition. And of course, what we find over here is that the interesting thing that we need to keep in mind is how the choice is made between Jesus. And the interesting thing over here that we should also notice is that the first name that is given for Barabbas is Jesus. So there is this decision that you've got to make between: do you want Jesus Barabbas, or do you want Jesus the Christ, or Jesus the Messiah? It's an interesting play that is taking place, word wise also. But the crowd kind of goes ahead and chooses Jesus, Jesus Barabbas, as the one whom they want to be released, rather than Jesus, the Christ, called the Christ. So, this must have been as we all know, Passover is a liberation kind of a feast. So, especially keeping in mind what happened in Egypt, and that's the story, and that's the history behind it. Roman guys who are ruling over the Jews want to be a part of that festival, want to be a part of that liberation story, so to speak, so that they could kind of win the support of be on the good books of the people, because they always knew that the Jewish guys who are living around Palestine are a really dangerous bunch. They're always kind of fighting against whoever is ruling over them, and the Romans themselves had put down a lot of insurrections before. Being a part of the main festival and this practice of releasing a prisoner, a captive, was a very traditional one, which they kind of continued to keep the people in good humor, so to speak. So, what we also can kind of keep in mind is how people kind of we can see ourselves also in a way over here, because we can be stage managed by what's happening around us. For instance, over here, this is the crowd that is demanding that Jesus be crucified and that Jesus Barabbas be released over Jesus the Christ. Is basically a very stage managed kind of a crowd, belonging to the temple priests and belonging to the temple system, so to speak. So it's not the whole Jewish people have kind of turned against Jesus. That's not really the point, but it's more of a temple driven, the chief priests and all those kind of people who are propping up the temple system. They are kind of stage managing a crowd, so to speak, to pinpoint that yes, Jesus has to be crucified. He has spoken against our laws. He has committed blasphemy, and he needs to be taught a lesson, so that through him many others will also learn their lesson and not question the system at all. So to speak, it's also a kind of a political, a scenery that is being played out, and Pilate being the guy who is the head of the political system has to make a decision, and he kind of finally has to listen to what the crowd is saying. For us, we also probably can keep in mind that today, when we look at ourselves, many times we kind of get along our way, just joining the crowd. Whatever the crowd says, we just do it without even critically thinking about it, whether it is right or whether it is wrong, and whether many times peer pressure, kind of you just go along with the flow. And that is, in a sense, what is happening over here. Of course, from the side of the Son of God, Jesus does not kind of die or leave because of this little crowd that is crucified, Jesus is dying for each and every one of us, definitely. Everybody gets to play their part in this, because the crowd kind of represents the sins of the entire world for the Son of Man, who is going to die for each and every one of us.
Besides, verse 19, while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him, "Have nothing to do with that righteous man, for I have suffered much because of him today in a dream." So she has this dream about him while other things are going on. She has this dream, I guess while she's sleeping, and she says, "I have suffered much because of him today." So it was an uncomfortable dream for her.
Yes. In fact, we need to keep in mind that for Matthew's gospel, dreams are a medium of divine messaging. So it is like the divine message comes through dreams. For instance, notice and keep in mind the dream that was received by Joseph. That Joseph went through when in the infancy narrative that we kind of read in the chapters 1 and chapter 2 of Matthew. There is also in this dream, Pilate's wife is also comes up with this message for Pilate that, hey, Jesus is a righteous man and he should not be condemned. It is just keep away from it. No, he is. He should not be. This is a cooked up story, so to speak, and you should not get involved in this. So Pilate is almost caught in a bind over here. He doesn't know. His wife kind of gives up this sends him this message, and he probably is caught in a very difficult situation, because he has to he definitely realizes what his wife is trying to tell him. And on the other side, we find the crowds kind of all ready to kind of almost start a riot or get him killed. If he does not fulfill their wish, so it's a difficult situation for Pilate too. The dreams play an important role over here in Matthew, and Pilate's wife also learns from the dream that from her dream that Jesus is a very a righteous man. He should not be condemned, or he should not be killed, or something bad should not happen to him. And she comes up with this message, but as we see and as it plays out, we find that the crowd wins the day, and Jesus has to die for them as well as for you and for me.
Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor again said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release for you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" They all said, "Let him be crucified." And he said, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Let him be crucified." So they asked for Barabbas to be released. They said, Pilate says, "What do you want me to do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" They say, "Let him be crucified," and they make it certain.
Mm-hmm. Well, isn't that in many ways what the crowded do? A crowd which is kind of sent out with a purpose, or given their talking points. You've got to do this. You've got to make sure that this thing gets done. And that is somehow in a way that is what is happening over here. And the crowd comes across as a group that is completely charged with hatred, or with something which they've got a purpose in them. They've got to make sure that Jesus gets his capital punishment that he, according to them, that he deserves. So in a way, many times we can also find ourselves playing roles like this. Without looking in depth at what a particular situation is, we also probably pass our own judgments and get into things. Just because our friend is involved, or somebody else who is very near and dear to us is involved in a particular cause, we also want to join that cause without thinking things through. And in a way, that is what is also played over here, played out over here. The crowd says that no, Jesus has to be crucified. We don't want to know anything more, anything less. We don't care about what good things he has done, how many people he has healed, what's the dream that your wife has seen. We're not just bothered about it at all. What we want to know is, are you going to get Jesus killed or not? Are you going to crucify him or not? And that's what we care about, and that's what we want. And so in a way, Pilate has really very little choice. He has to kind of keep the crowd under control, because they are notorious for their angry rebellions, or for their show of physical violence and all that. And so he really has limited choice, and he has to go ahead with what the crowd really wants wants to be done to Jesus. So yes, Jesus has to be crucified. We all know that is the plan of God. He has to die for the sins of the world. But the way in which the crowd kind of plays their part is very interesting, and it kind of speaks about us too. Many times we stand on the side of the crowd rather than on the side of Jesus. And that is probably something that we need to keep in mind even today.
Verse 24, now when Pilate saw that he was gaining nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves. And all the people answered, his blood be on us and on our children. Then he released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, delivered him to be crucified. So Pilate saw that there a riot is beginning, and he's not making any headways. They want Barabbas and not Jesus. Well, they want Jesus to be crucified. So he takes water and washes his hands before them, saying, I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves. I don't want to have anything to do with this. I'm innocent of this, he says.
It's very interesting to know that even Pilate kind of is, picking some things, some of the procedures or traditions of the Jewish people, especially when you look at Deuteronomy chapter 21, where the procedure that needs to be followed when a murder has taken place, where the villagers come, the elders come and wash their hands, or sacrifice a heifer and all that, just in order to make sure that yes, we have not been, we are not involved in this innocent blood and all that kind of stuff is also played out here the condemnation of Jesus. And Pilate brings out water and he does his washing of hands to make a point that no, I am not responsible for this. So on the one hand, Pilate wants to be on the side of the crowd. He has to go with the crowd and has to accede to the demands of the crowd. But at the same time, on the other hand, he also wants to make sure that, hey, you know what, I've heard from my wife that this is not the right thing. This is almost a cooked up story, and he kind of understands it from the proceedings that are happening about Jesus' judgment, and he kind of realizes that no, this is not right. So I cannot get him, give him capital punishment. But at the same time, he's caught in a kind of a bad situation over here. So he to politically do the right thing, and rather than have riots and problems that go ahead after that, he wants to make sure that is also taken care of. But at the same time, he also doesn't want to take responsibility for proclaiming judgment, saying that Jesus be crucified. So it's very interesting that how he kind of balances both of them and washes his hands away. But on the other hand, you crowd saying, oh, don't worry about it, let his blood be not only on us but also on our children. And it is as if they are so filled with hatred, or they're so sure about what they're doing that they are just fired up by the moment. They're just going in along with the mood, and they don't even care if the curse kind of falls on them or even on children. So it really shows how motivated the crowd were, how they were kind of fired up with this big desire to get Jesus crucified, and sadly, that's what we see, what happens, and our Lord has to go through all this. He has on the. It's very interesting. Also, one thing that we can notice over here is how Jesus stands as a complete opposite of. He is ready to take responsibility for the sins of the entire world. He is ready to take the curse of not only of the people who kind of. Condemned him to be killed, but also of each and every one of us. Even today, when we commit sins because of our sins or because of everything around in the world around us, Jesus stands as that person who is ready to take the sins of the world and to proclaim that forgiveness for each and every one of us, and to get us into a new life.
Verse 27, then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole battalion before him. And they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and put a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they spit on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. When they had mocked him, they stripped him of his robe and put his own clothes on him and led him away to crucify him. As they went out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. They compelled this man to carry his cross.
Yes, this is the final part where the mocking of Jesus takes place, and the soldiers kind of they are professionals. They know what to do, how a person has to be killed, and there's a particular way they do it. The professionalism is pretty clear, and it comes across in the passage also over here. He will be first scourged. They will use all kinds of methods to do that, to kind of almost beat the life of the person, and then he will be kind of. Made to take his own cross on which he will be crucified, and he will be finally crucified. It is interesting to also note how the Son of God has to go through all this. He has to face the mockery of the entire world before he can do his job of redeeming the world, of claiming victory, of gaining victory over the evil forces that are there in the world. As we move into the Christmas season, it is important to keep in mind what this baby who came to us as a humble man, as a humble child of Bethlehem, how this humble baby who becomes a big figure, who becomes the preacher who goes around preaching repentance of sins, and who becomes this, or who is the Son of God who dies for you and for me, who undergoes mocking, who undergoes trial, who undergoes false accusations, and faces all this adversity, and how the Son of Man, as Son of God, comes to each and every one of us and redeems us and gives us this great hope of eternal life and salvation. It is very important for us to keep that in mind as we celebrate our Christmas, as we celebrate to welcome the baby child into our lives.
And how fitting that we hear your little one in the background there.
Oh, really?
just a reminder of the incarnation of Christ coming as the infant. Yes, that we're certainly looking forward to in the coming season. Although here in North America, it already feels like winter, doesn't it? It already feels like Christmas because we associate it with winter this morning.
Yeah.
Now, in your home back in India, what is the weather like usually around Christmas?
Around Christmas, it is the winter season, but the winter over there for us is somewhere around in the 70s, you know. So it is not like the winter over here, where you dip down into the below freezing and all that. So it's kind of different. But yes, it is it's in the 70s. It's a little cool, but it's you can wear a little sweater, you know, and move around. And but it's a beautiful, especially Christmas Day is a very beautiful. I've always felt that it is something really special and very different from what we you know go through the entire year. Probably it is the expectation of celebrating, the baby Jesus being born into the world for each and every one of us that makes it much more extra special, for especially for people like me, or for other Christians for that matter. But yes, it is. It's really. It's beautiful. It's not this cold, and people don't fall sick like how I am right now. But it's really nice.
Pastor, looking over the text, especially this last section, we're running out of time here this morning, but looking over this last section, any other comments you'd like to make as we wrap up our study this morning?
Well, the main thing that I think we need to keep in mind, especially in this text, is that for each and every one of us, we need to bear in mind and hold on to our faith in knowing that our Lord Jesus went through a lot of adversity or a lot of challenges, not only in his pastoral ministry, in his worldly ministry, but also as a human being on this earth. So it is. We can, of course, draw inspiration in many ways by holding on to our faith and knowing that the Lord in whom we believe, the Lord in whom we trust, is somebody who has not, it's not a cooked-up story somewhere that has happened. It is a historical fact. It is something that has happened in history in our real life, in our real life world. There was the Son of God who came amongst us, who lived amongst us, and who gave Himself up for us. And even when there is there are all these things that are happening around us in our day-to-day life, we also can keep in mind that life is not easy, because our Lord Himself has not found life to be very easy. As a human being, He also had to undergo His own share of adversity, challenges, problems, pain, suffering. And as a suffering servant, He stands before us as the one who gives us the strength in knowing that He is there for each and every one of us, even for people who are suffering, for people who are seeking victory, who are seeking greater things ahead in their life. It is great to know that your Lord is with you. He has gone through suffering, but He has been the ultimate victor. So, of course, the victory part comes later on when we look at the resurrection. But it is important to know how Jesus, as the Son of God, stands as a responsible Son of God, who is not running away from what God calls him to do, but he is somebody who stands there, undergoes the pain for each and every one of us, who is ready to do it so that he can redeem the entire world of its sin and give us the hope of eternal life. And that is so great for each and every one of us, even today in our world today, when we go through all our problems and difficulties, to know that our Lord and Savior is somebody who is genuine, who has authentically faced life for each and every one of us, just like a human being. But the great thing is that he is God. He is the Son of God, who has gone beyond of human dimensions or human pain, human struggles, and he has done it for you and for me. So, knowing fully well that this is the Lord that we will celebrate, this is the Lord that we will welcome in the Christmas season, is something that each and every Christian should be proud of.
We've been studying the daily New Testament reading today with Pastor Stanis Stanley from India Evangelical Lutheran Church. Pastor Stanley, thanks for being our guest pastor this morning and helping us study this Matthew 27 text.
Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much for having me.
You bet. God's blessings.
Bye. Okay.
Coming up in just a little bit, we've got just a little sacred music to round out the hour. And in the next hour, we'll join together for morning prayer. Hope you can join us for all of it right here on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.